Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, each member belongs to all the others.
A man needs to restore his relationship to his grown son. A young mother fears for the future of her baby. An executive fights frustration as he deals with a demanding boss. Another man wrestles with a commitment to marry a woman. A woman feels trapped and abandoned in a loveless marriage. Is torn apart when his only friend moves to another state. A child is overwhelmed when mom and dad decide to separate. Real life, real people, real needs. But there is a real solution. There is one who can see beyond the two-dimensional facade of a fading photograph, right into the very souls of every man, woman, and child. One who knows precisely what you are going through, and one who knows exactly what you need. The word of God to you is this: cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So leave it at the altar. Leave it to the one who knows your struggles, who knows your fears, and who knows you better than you know yourself. Leave it at the altar. Let God have control. And watch in wonder and awe at the power and mercy of an almighty God. You can't do it alone. But the final promise is this: my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness.
Will you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, minds, and spirits might be acceptable in your sight. I pray, Lord, that you would protect me from me and hide me behind the cross of Jesus, that his name might be lifted up and glorified. We pray all this in his name. Amen. Friend, I want to invite you to take out of your worship program this morning the message download, which is a half sheet of paper. It's an outline of what I'm going to talk about. You have to excuse me. I just have an issue with the cross being there. As opposed to us seeing it. There's a message download, which is an outline of what I'm going to talk about this morning. It has some blanks in there, so as we go along, you can kind of fill in the blank as we go. Or if you want to take some notes and return back to that, you're welcome to do that, or to use that as a kind of a study aid or a thing to talk about over lunch a little bit later on, or dinner tonight, or to revisit it later on this week. You can do that. The great crooner from Margaritaville. I see there's some parrot heads in here. Once wrote in a song, "Relationships, we all got them, we all need them, but what do we do with them?" Church, God has made us to be relational people. God has made us to be in community together, to be connected to one another. So we all have those relationships, don't we? I mean, there's husband and wife, there's brother and there's sister, there's boss and there's co-worker, all kinds of relationships. Unless we have been living as hermits under a rock, you can't help but to live in this world and have relationship. Last week, as we tackled this message series called 40 Days of Community, we talked about how it is that as a community, we have to reach out to people who have not yet yielded their life to Jesus Christ, people that need a word of hope, people that need to know the love of Jesus, that we need to reach out to those people. And we do that best as a community, as opposed to by ourselves. Today we want to change focus, though, and we want to look at how it is as a community we live in relationship with one another, not just as a church family, but also out in the world in all the relationships that we have, kind of like those relationships that were in that video there. How do we build healthy relationships? I want to suggest to you this morning, church, that in order to experience the full breadth of community which God has wired us to be in, then we have to get this relationship thing straight. This is going to be one of those messages that I think is going to be very helpful for a number of people. I know it's helpful for me to do the research and to write the words down and do those things and kind of wrestle with it myself. But it's also one of those messages where there's a lot of elbowing, husbands and wives and people that are here together. You know, I'm going to be saying some things. I'm going to see some elbows go back and forth like, hey, he's talking to you. No, this is for everybody, not just for anybody specifically. One of the things we have said all along in this series, 40 Days of Community, is that God has wired us, made us, to be in community together. If you go all the way back to the first book of the Bible in the Old Testament, as we call it in the church, to the instruction manual of the Bible, to Genesis, it says, God created man. And then he said, but it was not good that man would be alone. See, God knew about we wouldn't iron or cook or clean, that type of stuff. No, God knew that we needed to live in community. And so he created woman. And then if you fast forward thousands of years later, the early follower of Christ, the early leader in the church named Paul, wrote to followers of Christ in Rome these words, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. You see, it's in following Christ that people have unity and community together. It's in following Christ that people can remain connected together in order to have healthy relationships. Now, God made us like that, but like so many other things, we human beings, both followers of Christ and those who aren't followers of Christ, have thwarted God's intention. That in many cases, we haven't lived connected lives, but we've lived disconnected with each other. If I was to ask folks today, for a show of hands, for somebody who has never experienced either firsthand or the effect of a broken relationship, a relationship that has gone sour, I suspect that there wouldn't be many hands that were up. Most of us have experienced a broken relationship or the effect of it. Maybe our youngest children here haven't yet experienced that. I know mine would go up, but marriages break up. Children get estranged from their parents. Siblings get in fights where they don't speak to each other. Co-workers hate each other's guts. Neighbors could care less about each other. And down the line, see, our relationships get broken. We are just simply a broken people, not connected, but disconnected. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that the cause of this brokenness can be attributed to at least four things. One of those things is selfishness. Another of those things is pride. Another of those things is insecurity. And the last of those things is resentment. And so we're going to look at those four things that destroy relationships, but then I'm going to give you what the Bible says is the antidote, the cure of those things. And so stay with me. The good news for us is that in Jesus Christ, the one and only true hope of the world, the name that is above all names, we find that answer. We find that antidote. We find that cure to the brokenness that is sometimes in our relationships. We find that preventative that keeps us from falling into unhealthy relationships. You know, even followers of Jesus Christ will fall into unhealthy relationships. Sometimes there's the misperception out there that once you give your life to Jesus Christ, once you yield your life, once you start gathering with other people in community to worship God, that somehow all your problems are going to go away and all your relationships are going to be great. But you know what happens? The statistics show that at least when it comes to marriage, that there's just as many, if not more, people who say they are followers of Jesus Christ whose marriage breaks up than people who have no intention of following Jesus Christ. And so we're all susceptible to the broken relationships. The difference is that when we are cast into the abyss of relationship hell, we have one that stands ready to pull us out. We stand ready to have one who will take us by the hand, one who will pick us up, one who will instill hope in us, one who will give us an example of what it means to live in a relationship that is healthy. That's the difference for us. So today we want to ask, how can we have these healthy relationships? How can we build good relationships? How can we prevent the relationships that we currently have from going south, from going sour? The first culprit that tends to destroy relationships is selfishness. That's the first culprit that seeks to destroy relationships, selfishness. This was something the writers of the Bible knew was a danger. Check out James chapter 4. James writes, "What causes fights and quarrels? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it?" And from the wonderful book of wisdom in the first part of the Bible called the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, "A greedy man, a selfish man or woman, stirs up dissension." Selfishness, unhealthy concern about me, myself, and I all the time in a relationship can kill a relationship faster than you can say Dr. Phil. Each one of us here today kind of comes into the world naturally selfish. Our human nature is to look out for numero uno, and the world reinforces all that and says, hey, it's all about you. It's all about me. It's all about your wishes and your wants. Customize everything to yourself because you're what matters. Well, think of what ramifications that has, what results that comes into in a relationship, in a marriage, in a friendship. When we're always thinking about ourselves, but not of the other person. When we're consumed with selfishness. Well, if selfishness destroys relationships, then selflessness builds healthy relationships. Selflessness. Christ gave us the picture of selflessness, forgetting about himself for our sake. He left the riches and the comfort of heaven and was born to us. He took on human flesh and he walked this earth and he put up with people. And then he went to die on a cross for you and I in a selfless act. The Bible says this about selflessness. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I've heard selflessness in a relationship described like this. Selflessness doesn't mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. Selflessness doesn't mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. You see, when we put God first, and when we put other people first before us, then that has a transformative effect on us, on the people we're in relationship with, and it gives glory to God. The Bible teaches that selfishness destroys relationships, but selflessness, putting other people first, builds healthy relationships. Another destroyer of good relationships is pride, silly, stupid pride. Pride in a relationship is kind of like always having to have the last word. All right, stop elbowing. Pride in a relationship is always having to be the one that's right. Pride in a relationship is when you refuse, because you think you're so strong, you refuse help from the person you're in relationship with. The problem with pride is it destroys. It leads to fighting. Again, from that wisdom book of Proverbs, pride only breeds quarrels. In another place in the same book, pride will destroy a person and a relationship. A proud attitude leads to ruin. How can a relationship where somebody will never say they're sorry because they're too proud, or how can a relationship where somebody never admits they're wrong, or how can a relationship where somebody won't ever accept help from the person they're in relationship with survive? It can't, you see. Pride cuts off the lifeblood of that relationship. Pride is the cancer that eats at relationships. The cure for this cancer that will root out pride and either prevent it or wipe it away is something we call humility. Humility builds relationships. Let me stop there and say this, because sometimes we get confused with that word humility, because we've taken the word humiliation, that sounds like humility, and we apply it to humility. I'm not talking here about tripping over your own feet, getting real embarrassed and turning red, that type of humiliation. I'm talking about being humble. I'm talking about the kind of humility, I'm talking about being humble so that you can say sorry when you are wrong in a relationship. Where you can say, I hurt your feelings, I'll try to do better. Where you can say, I'll accept your help because, no, I'm not strong enough to do this. And I need you, and I need God to help me. The ultimate picture of humility is Christ himself. Paul, the early church leader, wrote, don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves, and think the same way Christ thought. Jesus Christ, equal with God, left the riches of heaven. He left the safety of heaven. He emptied himself. He became humble to the point of a cross for our sakes. That, you see, is what humility is about. What a great example of humility that will help us stay connected in relationships. Well, not only do selfishness and pride destroy relationships, but so does insecurity. Now, ladies, I want you to take your hands and put them over your ears for a minute. And men, I'm going to talk to you, especially you married men or you that will ever be married. I want to tell you something about insecurity that will save your marriage. If your wife is ever putting on a pair of jeans or a dress or whatever, and she turns to you and says, honey, does this make me look fat? The one and only and the correct answer is, of course not, honey. You look great in anything as usual. I'm telling you, it will save your marriage. We all have insecurities to one degree or another. And ladies, I'm not picking on you. Us men certainly have them too. It's when we get to the point, though, when insecurity consumes us, that it can destroy a relationship. When we're more cared about what other people think of us, it can consume a relationship. Little insecurities can come to control us, and when that happens, the relationship is a train wreck. Now, sometimes this will manifest in a marriage with one spouse who is insecure, and they're always accusing the other of cheating. You know, they'll say, oh, well, why does he keep calling you? Or I saw the way she looked at you. You know, they get real paranoid about it because they're insecure. Or in a friendship, it'll sometimes manifest itself when you have one friend who will criticize another friend because you're getting too close to that other friend. And they're going to think that you don't like them any better. So it manifests itself in criticism, you see, and it begins to destroy the relationship you have with that friend. The thing that can overcome insecurity is love. You see, the spouse who is always accusing the other person of cheating, they're really just insecure. They really just don't have enough self-worth to say, hey, I am somebody. The friend that criticizes the other friend, it's really about self-worth. about love because they don't feel good enough about themselves, so they have to engage in criticism to put down another friend. The problem for those folks that do that, and for other ways that manifests in other relationships, is that they are getting their self-worth from the wrong place. That self-worth doesn't come even from your relationship with your husband or with your wife or with your friend, but instead your worth comes from the God who is your friend. Your worth comes from the God who loved you so much that he left heaven and came to us in flesh, walked amongst us, went to the cross, was raised on the third day, and is coming back. The God that says you are precious in his sight. The God that is calling you today in your heart to say, have relationship with me, walk with me. It is that God who gives us our worth. And so you see, though we'll all always struggle with insecurities, right? When we're struggling with insecurity, we can remember, hey, I am somebody, not because of how much money I make, or where I went to school, or how I look, or how much my husband loves me, or how many friends I have, but I am somebody because of who God said I am in Jesus Christ. That's where we get our worth from, you see. I like how the early follower of Christ, the Apostle John, put it. He said, love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. The perfect love of God casts out all fear. We don't have anything to fear. What shall separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ? Nothing. The final relationship killer that prevents us from experiencing community is resentment. Resentment can destroy relationships. The writer of Hebrews gave this warning. He said, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You know, having been wronged, having been hurt, having been betrayed, it's easy for us to carry that around all the time. Easy for us to stay mad at somebody else. The problem with that is that it will wreck a relationship. When you carry around the baggage and the weight of being so angry about what has been done to you or to somebody else, then you know what happens? You multiply the initial hurt. Because on the one hand, you have the thing that was done that hurts you, but then when you carry around all that baggage, it's like living it over each and every time, time and time again when you carry around that baggage. And the one thing we can't do, if we want a relationship to survive, even when somebody hurts us, because look, relationships are relationships and we're human beings and we're going to hurt each other sometimes and we're going to betray each other sometimes. But the one thing we can't do if we're the one who's been hurt is constantly lord it over that person. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you kind of put it away to the right time, to the great big fight, and you bring it out. You bring out the big gun, the resentment that you never let go of from the past. The answer to resentment, then, is forgiveness. That's the antidote. That's the cure. Forgiveness builds healthy relationships. Colossians 3:13 says this, you must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. And here's the convicting part of that verse. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Oh, I hate that verse. It's like we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, we have to move from being liars when we say the Lord's Prayer to actually living out the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive other people. That's a journey, I know. We can't do it overnight all the time, but that's what we're called to. Forgiveness, though, and we could do a whole message on forgiveness, and we will, is not forgetting. It's not minimizing the hurt. Instead, it's saying, I am not going to let this hurt control and rule my life and wreck a relationship. Friends, you're here today because God had some good news for you. The good news for you is that you don't have to live in bad relationships. You may have had some relational disasters in your life. If so, join the club. That's what all of humanity experiences at one time or another. The question I want to pose to you and want you to take away and think about this week and in the weeks to come is, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with those relationships that have gone sour? What are you going to do to prevent relationships from going sour? The solutions of selflessness, humility, love, and forgiveness, they're found only in relationship to Jesus Christ. You see, that's what makes what I've talked about this morning different than what you'll find on Oprah or Dr. Phil or in a Jimmy Buffett's. It's because these things come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to reach out to you and take care of your relationships. I've spoken here before about this vertical relationship. If we get this vertical relationship right, then these horizontal relationships get better. But it starts with this vertical relationship with God and Jesus Christ. You need to allow Jesus to be the manager, the CEO, or as we say in the church, the Lord of your life, to let Him fill you with His love. That's the starting point for healthy relationships. Some of you this morning have waned from that vertical relationship for whatever reason, and no one stands here to judge. Then there's some of you that on the outside, you say that you have this vertical relationship, but you know your heart and God knows your heart. And there's still others of us that haven't yet taken the step. We haven't took the leap of faith and said, Jesus Christ, I yield my life to you. Come and save me. Come and help me. Come and love me as only you can. Wherever you are today, I invite you into what we call discipleship. I invite you to start following Jesus Christ. If you do that for the first time, friends, we'd like to know about that so we can help you out and give you some resources and help you on your journey. In your worship program on the tear off, it says, there's a little box to check that says, I want to begin following Jesus. You can check that and put it in the offering basket. If you're a person that needs to rekindle that relationship and to say, hey, come and light my fire, there's a box there that says, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I invite you, if that's where you're at, to do that. If not, that's okay. If you want that thing to remain a private type of thing, that's okay too. But also know that we can help each other out in community with our walk with God in Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, you've seen every relationship that we've ever had, the good ones, the bad ones, the pretty ones, and the ugly ones. And you know how selfishness and pride and insecurity and resentment have messed up some of our relationships. Lord, we know that we need your help in order to build and to have healthy relationships in this life. So as much as we understand, we ask you to come anew into our lives, to live through us, to demonstrate your love through us. Give us a fresh start in our life, in our relationships, and in our walk with you. For we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.